that captures what wisdom is this. Part 1. And we'll be running it throughout the month in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What wisdom is this? The Bible made us understand that wisdom is the principal thing. Hello? The Bible did not say wisdom is one of those things. It did not say wisdom is one of the principal things. It said wisdom is the principal thing. Hallelujah. Wisdom is the major thing. Hallelujah. Wisdom is the principal thing in life. And you cannot have the principal thing and not take the principal place in life. Hallelujah. If the principal thing is present in your life, you will occupy the principal place in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I speak to your life today that whatsoever men have been looking at you and they have been pitying you for, the same thing shall become an object of testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever has been a source of concern to you, I decree that the wisdom way out be released today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. But like what we said last month, trying to go back into it a little so that we can understand. The scripture says that we are created as gods here on earth by God. God speaking to Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 7. He says, see, I have made thee a god unto Pharaoh. Thank you, Jesus. Because that may sound strange to some people. When you say, oh, am I a god that we are bowing down for? No, you are not a god in that respect. But you are a god over circumstances of life. You are a god that was created by the Almighty God over this earth. Hallelujah to Jesus. And reinforcing that, let's go back to Psalms 82 before we go to that book of Romans. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 82. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalms chapter 82. I start from verse 5. Hallelujah. Psalms 82. And in verse 5, let me read from here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Starting from verse 5. He says, they know not, neither will they understand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I think I should open this. I forgot to put on that light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Why? The reason is simple. He said, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. He said, the foundation of the earth is out of course. Why? Because those who are created to be God over the earth, they are ignorant of that reality. Those who are created to be in charge as gods over the earth, they are ignorant of that reality. And because of that, the foundation of the earth was lost. It started shaking. He said, all the foundation of the earth, they are out of course. So they are derailed. They are no more in the place that they are supposed to be. You know, it's like when you have the train moving and it's derailed. What happened to that train? It will fall. Hello? And especially when the weather is bad here. When they are trying to, you know, that changing gear. When the thing freezes, it doesn't change. That's why they will tell you that, oh, there's electricity failure. Especially those who are using Pentatog, they know that one. And therefore, you sit at the train station and you are shivering. I say, hey, what is happening? You are shaking your head. You are praying. They say, no, this is not prayer. Go and change the gear back to where it's supposed to be. Because the foundation was moved out of the course. Hallelujah. Because the device that was produced, that was prepared, or that was installed to maintain it in the course is not doing its work, then everything turned upside down. And the same thing, the Bible said the earth is out of course. Why? Because in verse 6 it said, I have said ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. A cat will never, ever, ever give birth to monkey. And so if God has given birth to you, you are created as gods. Hallelujah. Over circumstances of life, over the entire earth. Hallelujah. He said, but ye shall die. But ye shall die like men, and fall like all, and fall like one of the princes. Say, God forbid. He said, arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. He said, they will die like men. Why? Because they are ignorant of this. So we spent the entire last month emphasizing that it has been eternally settled. It's an indisputable fact that you are gods. And in case you have problem with that, Jesus, the Most High himself, that became flesh, he repeated in the book of John, that don't you see from your Bible, he said, the scripture cannot be broken, because he that made them, he said to them, ye are gods. Hallelujah. And that is a reality. If there's somebody in this assembly that is still doubting that, then we need to pray for him specially. Because we have painted the scripture, we have painted the future of your future through the scripture, repeating it again and again. Hallelujah to Jesus. That ye are created as gods by the Almighty God to be in charge of the earth. But like we said in this newsletter, that it is not enough with that information. Of what use is it that you hear that you are God and you start going around, hey, I'm God. Oh, but they even think you are crazy. Hello? The proof that you are God is when you are in control of the situation. The proof that we are created as God is that when we stick our places in destiny and be in control of the situation of our lives. You cannot be a beggar and you say you are gods over the issue of poverty. Hello? You cannot be a sickly person, a vegetable, and you say you are gods over sickness. No, sir. You cannot be a god over your career and you are going from top to bottom every day. That is not the plan of God for you. And I speak to you today, as the Lord liveth, that same thing that they are pitying you for, it shall become an object of testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the wisdom of God that will be deposited in your hand in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so, we have to go from the realm of information to another realm of manifestation. Hallelujah. Because information that is not applied, it won't produce nothing good for you, sir. Hello? It's just like somebody going around and carrying the Bible and say, okay, I'm a believer. What makes you a believer? If people look at you and they cannot see the nature of Christ in you, you know, like we said through the Bible, the first time when they were called or addressed as Christian was in Antioch. And it was not because of the prayer they were praying that was shaking the place. Hello? It was not because their Bible was so big and so that they can't let everybody know they are carrying the Bible. No, they look at them and they say, these are like Christ. Hello? These are little Christ. They behave like Christ. They talk like Christ. They act like Christ. They look at them. They are enjoying financial prosperity. They are enjoying prosperity in their homes. Everything was working around them. And they came to the conclusion that these are like Christ. And they call them Christians. Hello? And so, when you go anywhere, when they look at you, can they call you that same name? Hello? Are you aiding and abetting the way they are doing in the world? Then you are then. What kind of Christian are you? Are you a Christian indeed?
I mean, can you be called a Christian indeed? Thank you, Jesus. So we have to go from the level of information to the level of manifestation. This is what the scripture says, like we said in that book of Romans. Let's go there now. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8 and verse 19. Are we there now? We have it on the screen if you are able to find it. Romans 8, 19. Let's start from verse 18. He said, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The glory that will be revealed in us. You know, the Holy Spirit was speaking to us through Apostle Paul here. He said, "For the earnest expectation of the creature, they waited for the manifestation of the sons of God." He's simply saying that earth is waiting for the sons of God, the children of God, to take their place. Why? Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Like I normally say, every service we have to always go back to Genesis chapter 1 and see how it was from the beginning. Thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter 1, like I said the other time, remember that everything from verse 3 up to the last place before he created the man was created for the man. The sun was not created for God. God doesn't need the sun. God will never need the moon. Hallelujah. God will never need the stars. He doesn't need water. The sapphires, the iron ore, the aluminium, all the metals that he put there, doesn't need them. He made them for the man. Hello? And how do we know that? In verse 26, Genesis 1, 26 said, "And God said, let us make man in our own image," or "man be in our own image, after our likeness, and let the man," or mankind, "have dominion," or "be gods," or "let them have authority." Let them be in charge. In charge of what? "Over all the fish of the sea," representing everything inside under the water. "Over the fowl of the air," that means everything upside, I mean up after the water, that's in the air. "And over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And so God created his children, mankind, to be the one that is in control over the entire earth. That means the earth and everything that is there. God created us to be in control here. And then Paul was lamenting here, the Holy Spirit was lamenting here, that those things that you are created to dominate are now groaning. You know, we read the easy-to-read version here. You know, look at what it says. It said, "Everything that God made is waiting with excitement for the time when he will show the world who his children are." Who are his children? The angels? No! You and I! We are the children of God. He said, "The whole world wants very much for that," what? "To happen." King James Version put it this way. He said, "The earnest expectations of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God." And so, everything, the earth is waiting for us to take our place. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at it this way. Let's go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Let's start from... thank you, Jesus. Let's start from verse 4. Are we there? He said, these are the generations of heaven and of the earth when they were created. I'm talking about everything that was created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, verse 5. He said, and every plant of the field, before it was in the air, that means before they started, produce, he said, every herb of the field, before it grew, for the Lord God has not caused it to rain upon the earth. Why didn't he allow rain to come upon the earth? Why didn't God allow rain to come upon the earth? Because it's wicked? No. Hallelujah. He gave us the key there. There was no man to manage it. And so God said, there can be increase when there is no man to manage it. Hallelujah. The gods that were created to manage it, they were not alive then. And so God said, no, there can be increase, because if it caused the rain to come now, all the grasses, all the trees will start growing, and there won't be any man to manage it. And God hates disorder. That was why the Bible said he planted a garden. What makes it a garden? Well, because he introduced orderliness in there. What you call flowers today are bushes anyway. It's just because we planted them in a particular order. Hello? The bush that you are cutting away in your village, if you plant it nice and you clip the, you cut the head very nice with your mower or your people say, oh, look at the nice garden. It's a bush somewhere. Hallelujah. And so, Bible makes us understand that God did not allow the rain to fall upon the earth. He didn't allow increase because the man that will manage it was not ready then. And what did he do? That was why he went ahead in verse 7. He said, and the Lord God formed a man that was supposed to manage that thing. And he formed a man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostril of that man the breath of life. And that man became a living soul. Because after then rain could come to rain upon the earth and increase to survey. Because the man was ready for management. Thank you, Jesus. What are we trying to talk about here? That's why the Bible said that the earnest expectations of creation, they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That we manage the earth so that the kingdom of God shall expand. Hallelujah. And so, to manage things or to manage resources is our responsibility. We can pray like praying mantis. We can pray until we become blue. If we don't learn the act of management, nothing will happen. Like we normally say, God will not come and fix your economy for you, sir. You pray and fast for 30 days, you will still be begging. Because you have to take responsibility and discover what he has given you and use the wisdom he has given you to trade with it and become what you are supposed to be. He said, the earnest expectation of creation, they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hello? The wood in the forests of Nigeria, they are waiting for people that will use them, that will cut them down and polish them and make them tables that somebody will put in the sitting room and say, oh no, this is a nice furniture, let me buy it. Because that wood is not fulfilled when it is in the bush. The iron ore, they are waiting in Kogi State for somebody to use his brain to put them together and manage them so that they will end up as cars on the street, because they are not fulfilled when they are there, still under the ground. Hallelujah. The copper in Zambia, they are waiting for somebody to take advantage of it and mine them in such a way that when they end up as cables in the houses of people all over the world, that is when they are fulfilled, because the fulfillment of purpose is what we are created for. So until something fulfills its purpose, it will continue to grow. That's why the Bible said that the earnest expectation of creation, they are waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God, that we use the wisdom of God to put them together so that they will end up where they are supposed to be. Of what use is a car that you park in the garage all the day that you bought it? It's not fulfilling a purpose. Of what use is a bird that cannot fly? Of what use is that dog that cannot bark?
Of what use is the horse that is just lying down somewhere eating grass, nobody to carry? It's not fulfilling its purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Are you getting this thing?
Somebody may say, what's pastor saying there? Are we in a business seminar? Yes, we are in heaven seminar here. Hallelujah.
That is it. You see, wake up. Come to your to the reality of what God has created you to be. God is not a respecter of persons. We are not backward because we are black. We are backward because we are blind. Hello? We are not doing what we are supposed to do with what God has given us. There is no resources that they have here that we don't have back in our nation. And God said, I have made thee gods over all those minerals. I have made thee gods over everything that you have in your nation. I have made thee God over your marriage. You need the wisdom of God to see for, because your marriage will not fix itself. You can pray like praying mantis, and your marriage may be so chaotic. You may flush down your marriage down the drain, even as a prayer warrior, if you don't apply the wisdom of God concerning marriage, sir. Hello? You may be the son of the owner of a bank and not still be fulfilled in life. Hello? My country, where I came from, is the sixth largest producer of crude oil in the world. He made us to be gods over that oil. Hello? To use our brain to manipulate it so that we can earn a living from it. But we are still begging. Hello? In one of the states in Nigeria, they said, we have one of the highest deposits of bitumen. You know what they use bitumen for? To tie the road. You go to that state, every road is dusty. And God said, ye are gods over the earth. Ye are gods over those bitumen. Ye are gods over the calcium that you put in your ground. You are gods over the iron ore. You are gods over everything. You are gods over the entire earth. What are we doing with it? Let us wake up. Thank you, Jesus. But let us understand this thing. That it takes the application of that wisdom or management for it to happen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What a revelation it is. I want you to stir something up in you. That you are created to be the head and not the tail. You are created to be the soul, the light of this world. You are not supposed to be pitied. You are supposed to be envied. Angels are envying you. Why should men be pitying you? You should reject it. You refuse to be pitied anywhere you go. Hello? And this one starts with what? With discovery. Because when you don't know it, you can have the best of best and still be deceived to drop it. Because you cannot add value to what you don't value. Hello? You cannot add value to what you don't value. And what you don't value, you will lose it without any problem. It will be so easy to lose it. Hello, I was thinking recently, I said, some years back, if somebody comes and says, okay, I am from England, I am the king of England, I don't want you to speak Yoruba language again. We will fight you. That line, we're not going to agree. You know, but we were made to understand that our language is inferior to the English, to the extent that whenever we go to school, if you speak Yoruba, they ask you to pay fine. And so, we were taught to disrespect and to devalue our language. And gradually, before we know what is happening, we drop it. Hallelujah. I remember even that time, if you want to talk to a girl, you have to go and learn to speak English. And if you cannot speak English, you will try to drink some wine. So that you start a low girl. Then that girl you want to speak to doesn't even have good English too. But because you want to prove that you know English. You see, we were made to understand that English is better. So what you don't value, you will lose. Ye are God, sir. What wisdom is this? Let's look at it this way. Let's look at Jesus in Mark chapter 6, verse 2. Thank you, Jesus. Are we there? Mark 6:2. He said, and when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished. They were surprised. Saying, from whence or where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Not just mighty works, mighty works. Prove that you are gods indeed over situation. Prove that you have dominion over that situation by the product of your hands. So Jesus proved it. They look at him and say, what wisdom is this? He spoke to the raging sea and the thing became calm instantly. I said, what wisdom is this? He spoke to demons and demons were trembling. They said, what wisdom is this? Hallelujah to Jesus. Even at age 12, the Bible said he was talking with doctors, answering questions and even asking questions from them. And they were so astonished at his wisdom. What distinguished Jesus was his wisdom. Hallelujah to Jesus. We'll be talking more about wisdom, but I want us to understand that without that wisdom, you cannot successfully manage or prove that you are God's indeed. That you are created to be in charge of situations of life. It takes wisdom of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It says in Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, or the many-sided wisdom of God. He said, God created his church for one purpose, to demonstrate the many-sided wisdom of God. The church is not to be pitied. The church is supposed to be in charge. It's an abuse for the church to be going to the government and be begging, oh, can we give us money to run church? It's an insult to Jesus. Hallelujah. It's an insult. The church is created to be the head and not the tail. The church is set apart to be the salt of the earth. Without the salt, can you enjoy food? When people fall sick and they say they shouldn't eat salt, when you are eating, they are shaking their head. I wish I can eat this thing. Imagine without salt, how this earth will be. It will be a terrible place to live in. And the one that created you said, ye are the salt of the earth. I want you to wake up with this this reality. That in your family, you are the salt. Hello? So when you show up, solution must show up. Because one of the principal responsibilities of the salt is to preserve things. So which means when you don't wake up to take your place, when you don't wake up to take your responsibility, when you don't wake up to see the reality of what God has created you to be, the things will be suffering and will be decaying. No wonder. Go and check everywhere in the world now. When the church is not taking their place, what is happening there? Decadence setting. I'm not talking of religious church. I'm talking of a spiritual church. I'm talking of a church that knows its place. I'm talking of a church that knows the power, that is full with the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, can you imagine? Thank you, Jesus. I pray that our eyes of understanding will be enlightened to see this reality in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What are we talking about today? We are created to dominate the earth. We are created to manage the earth. And it will take the wisdom of God to do that. Before we stand up, let's go to Zechariah. Thank you, Jesus. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. We go to Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Are we there now? I think it was one of the songs that our choir gave us this morning during the worship session. He said, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of God unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by power, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. We have used that song many times. But what's the revelation that God is giving you? You are just busy singing it. We God open our eyes in the mighty name of Jesus. See, not by might. Not by power. You see, it means it's not by struggling. Hello? It is not by jiggy jiggy. No, it is by the Spirit of God. Hello? It is by the Spirit of God. Because if it is by power, I mean the human power, that means all those people that are working hard, they will have been the richest. You can work in three places. At the end of the month, when it's time to pay the bill, annoyance comes. You say, and nothing will become annoyance. Because, it's, you see, it's not about that. He said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. It is, let's now look about the characteristics of that Spirit. Let's see. In verse 7, he said, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. So it will take the Spirit of God to level that mountain. You know, like I've always said, one of my fathers in the Lord said, there is no mountain anywhere. Everybody's ignorance is his mountain. Brethren, no mountain. No. There is no mountain that cannot be surmounted. There is no challenge that cannot be leveled if you know what it takes to handle it. What you say, oh, it's impossible. Somebody will look at it and laugh and say, oh, I solve it. So all you need to do is to discover, what must I do to level this mountain? Don't say, hey, it's not possible. Somebody, you know, I like that testimony. You know, somebody will tell you that the minimum you can stay is you wait for 6 months before you get it. Somebody say, okay. But, you know, ignorance destroys you. I remember when I was younger like this, I came to this country. They say, I said, I want to go to school. They say, this school, they don't even give me admission. They talk me down everything. I say, okay, I had. I took my certificate and I sneaked behind them. I went to the school. I said, oh, God, I want to study for master's. What must I do? He said, that was not difficult. He gave me the key. I came back home with admission letter. They are still busy talking that it's not possible for a black man to get admission here. Hello? You know, the man was so much in a hurry to give me the admission that he printed it right in his house for me. Hallelujah. As always, hey, it's not possible to get admission. Who told you? Who told you that? Ask for the wisdom way out. There is always a wisdom way out. That was why they couldn't corner Jesus. Wisdom bailed him out at any time. The wisdom of God will bail you out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The wisdom of God will sort out that situation in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will not be stopped in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. He tried to stop Isaac. They say, oh, all the way that we drink, we will block it. I say, okay, I will teach you a lesson. Look at Laban. He tried to stop Jacob. He put down his salary 10 times backward. At a point, he said, okay, you will have all the animals. He gave me an impossible equation to solve. But with the wisdom of God, he became richer than the one that was cheating him. Thank you, Jesus. So it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. But what kind of Spirit? The Spirit of wisdom. Let's not close that in that area. Let's open Isaiah chapter 11. We'll close there now. Thank you, Jesus. Next week, we have enough time to deal with it very well. The book of Isaiah chapter 11. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We start from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 11, starting from verse 1. Hallelujah. Are we there? He said, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And he said, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, remember, Zechariah 4, 6, he said, it's not by might, isn't it? It's not by power, but by my Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. That same Spirit, the Bible is describing that same Spirit here. He said, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That same Spirit that will level mountain. What are the characteristics of that Spirit? He said, the Spirit of what? Do you see that? The Spirit of wisdom. So it takes wisdom to level any mountain. Every mountain can be leveled with the wisdom, sir. Hallelujah. Any level, any mountain can be leveled with the wisdom of God. Let that one sink in your head now. That the mountain of your marital crisis can be leveled by the wisdom of God. The mountain of backwardness in your career can be leveled by the wisdom of God. He said here, the spirit of wisdom, one. The spirit of what? Understanding. Two. The spirit of what? Not counsel. Hallelujah. The spirit of counsel. That is showing you what to do. Hallelujah. The spirit of might. What is might? Strength. The spirit of knowledge. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. So he's telling you that, like what we call the seven spirit of the Lord in the book of Revelation. So the spirit of the Lord is the spirit of wisdom. Did you get it now? So it means that when you are lacking in understanding, when you don't know what to do, connect with the spirit of God. Because he is the spirit of power. So, and power is the ability to do work. The power will empower you. He will give you the ability to carry out the responsibility. So when you connect with the Holy Spirit, you know that power is settled. Hallelujah. When you connect with the Holy Spirit, he is the spirit of what? The spirit of wisdom. What is wisdom? It's a correct application of knowledge. Wisdom is doing what is required to acquire what you want, what you desire. So when you wake up, you say, I don't know what to do. You have killed yourself. Oh Lord, there is a way out of this situation. You said in your word that I am the head and not the tail. I can't be the head and be at the bottom of the class. Where am I failing? Holy Spirit will say, okay. And as you are meditating, Holy Spirit will say, you are mismanaging your time. When you are supposed to be reading, you are playing tennis. You can't pass. You see, you may have prayed and fast and still be ending with F. But wisdom will tell you the way out. And say, no. You remember that whenever you listen to something, there are times when you have to listen to it again and again. Don't waste your time. Spend more time reading your thing, your book again and again. Then you get the key. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
hallelujah. There is a wisdom way out of every situation. It's the spirit of wisdom. It's the spirit of what? The spirit of counsel. Counsel means showing you discretion. What am I supposed to do to be the best tailor in the town? Hallelujah. What am I supposed to be the best banker in the town? What am I supposed to do without cheating in my working place that I will be a reference point? He will show you. So forget about all this religious. Let's stand up. I need to release you. Thank you. Time is fast spent. See, forget about all this religion. Oh, shake your head. Go pray, shake your leg. It's just nonsense, sir. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus is a practical Jesus. They came to him, asked questions. He said, hey, this woman was caught in adultery. Should we kill him? We stone him. He said, I will show you two. You think you are wise? And he stooped down. He started writing. What was he doing? He was thinking. He connected with the wisdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And that wisdom says, yes. What should we do? There must be a way out. And he told him, I said, okay, any one of you that has never seen him before, let him stone him. They said, they went away. That is the way every problem will be running away from you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Because you will be able to lose it by the wisdom of God. Every time the devil packages something to stop you, the wisdom of God will lose that. That's why Jesus was telling them, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. How? He said, I will give you keys. What is the key? The key will open any door at any time. Okay, if somebody says, okay, I have a very big door, but I will lock you inside. And you have the key that opened that door. Will you be crying? And say, oh God, open the door. God will say, oh son, use your key. Hallelujah. Use your key. I've given you key. That's what Jesus said. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I will give you keys. That key is the wisdom of God. That key is the word of God that can lose everything. The devil tried to shut the door of fruitfulness against Hannah. And God said, fruitfulness, barrenness, occasion number, you are too small. Take the key. She got the key and said, woo, unto the devil. By what? big boy called Samuel. And God slapped the devil on both cheeks. Not only that one boy, another one came. To prove that it was not by fluke. It wasn't by mistake. Because whatsoever the Lord doeth shall be forever. Brethren, I want us to wake up. You see, every time I see, and I'm sorry to say this, every time I see black people being put down, it grieves my heart. Because from the beginning it was not so. God is not a respecter of persons. What they have here is a product of the proper use of their minds. It's a product of wisdom. It's a product of what? Product of what? This house we are living in. Do you know how the year they built it? For you to understand how old this house is, look at this picture they put. Look at the year they dedicated it. And this picture is definitely cannot be older than the house. Can you see a house in my country that is as old as this that you'll be able to have meetings like this there? Even if you call people for a meeting, they will come. You want to kill them. the house that we fall down. How are they able to maintain a house for 100 years and it's still standing? It's not by prayer. It is the application of wisdom. So begin to see, and brethren, as I close, please. There is nothing you need to be what God has made you to be that's not already in you. Hello? You just need to give expression to it. The day a baby is conceived this way, everything, the teeth, the bone, the ear, everything is inside that baby. You only go to school to polish your talent. What is there already, the potential? Let's begin to give him thanks. Let's give him glory. Let's give him honor. Say, what wisdom is this? What kind of wisdom? They look at him, they couldn't resist his wisdom. No, when I said, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that the enemy cannot resist nor gainsay. They are saying, oh, you're at your working place, oh, because you are not as tall as them, they won't give you the job. But somebody say, ah, if you don't give him the job, we'll close down this company. Because he's the only one that knows what it takes to move this company to the next level. They said they wanted to ordain the king of Israel. They look at those guys. They say, this one is not Lord, I give him. The prophet said, you don't know anything. As a boy in the bush. When you are operating by the wisdom of God, no matter where you are, they will sort out, they will look for you. Amen. You look at it now. That's why that scripture we read, that he read for us, it was Solomon that was writing it. Because his daddy was telling him as a child. Say, with wisdom. He was a child that nobody reckoned with. Nobody reckoned with him. Was not even, in fact, at the point, they need to put him in another man's house so that they won't break his head. But when it was time to ordain the king, they had to look for him now. Because they know that he had what it takes to take the nation to the next level. They will look for you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I said, as from today, they will be looking for you to enthrone you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So let's begin to give him thanks. Let's give him glory. Let's give him honor. Let's give him adoration. Let us thank him because he has prepared to take us to another level. That is why he is revealing to us this information today. This revelation of the truth that we are created as God to dominate by the wisdom of God. To manage the earth on his behalf through his wisdom. Let us give him thanks. Let us give him glory. Let us give him honor. Let us give him adoration. Let us magnify his holy name. Let us say, Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We're going to partake of the communion. Hallelujah. Amen. And one of the mysteries of the communion table is the transplantation or the impartation of the life of Jesus into our mortal life. They look at Jesus and say, what wisdom is this? As you partake of this communion, your mental faculties will be fertilized in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. As you partake of this communion today, you are empowered to live holy in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But I want us to examine ourselves. Because the Bible says, before you take it, examine your life. You can't help it. It's the person that likes sin. You can pray, and even if you go to Coca-Cola company and bring a whole lorry load of this, it won't make any difference until you give your life to Christ. Hello? If you know that you are not in line with Christ, You are not, I mean, you have not aligned your life to him. Is this a time for restitution? Say, Lord, here I am. Come into my life afresh. Because sinners cannot manifest the wisdom of God. Hello? Amen. Hello? Hello? You can't be living in sin and be manifesting the wisdom of God. It's not possible. You know, as wise as Solomon was, the moment he started putting his hand in to see what happened, he messed up everything. The wisdom was, he was corrupted. It's just like when you have an excellent computer and you allow virus to come in, you click, open this web page, he'll be turning and turning and turning. So when you put your hand in the sea, bam, you have quenched the flow of the Spirit of God. It's called Holy Spirit. But it's the Spirit of wisdom. But you see, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I want us to pray right now. Say, Lord, sanctify me afresh. Sanctify me afresh by the blood of Jesus. Everything that I've done, that I'm still doing, that Lord, have mercy on me. Show me the way and cleanse me from every unrighteousness. And if you're not born again before, it is the moment to say, Lord, I surrender my life unto you. Because when you partake of this thing as a non-believer, you're wasting your time. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Sanctify us by your blood today. From pleasure from every unrighteousness, in the name of Jesus Christ. And as you partake of this communion, empower us to live holy. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we are praying.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.